views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. And today I'm excited to have a guest, Pia Orlean. I've had her on the last month on the Dr. Pat Show and invited her back to talk with you about the feminine and the cycles of nature and women. Pia Orlean holds a PhD in the psychology of consciousness and spirituality. Her books include The Return of the Feminine, Honoring the Cycles of Nature, and she is the co-author of the books Conversations with Larkma and Remembering Who We Are. Dr. Orlean shares her life and her work with Colin Baird Smith, and together they bring forth wisdom to support the evolution of humanity. And Pia offers solutions for bringing both our planet and ourselves back into balance, and reminds both men and women that cycles are vital to every aspect of life. Our main avenue to health is through understanding our connection to with the natural world, slowing the pace of life, and directing each thought, word, and action with love and compassion. And you can check out her website at www.larkma.com. It's L-A-A-R-K-M-A-A. So welcome, Pia.
Hi, Chris. Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I always begin with people's stories. So for you, when did your journey begin for reclaiming the feminine for yourself?
Late in life, I'm afraid. I was living a life that was totally inundated with the patriarchal culture and trying very hard to fit in and trying to compete and keep up like so many women have done to try to make the best of their lives. My journey with the feminine didn't begin until I actually was working on my PhD at Saybrook University. And I was introduced to the concept of indigenous ideas about treating sacred menstrual customs as a sacred time, and that could change how we are in the world and how everything in the world is affected by our presence in the world. And I started experimenting with myself. My own personal story is that I created a separate ritual moontime hut where I would go during my own bleeding cycle and experience what I'd been reading about and talking to these Native women about how it used to be done. And I can tell you that was quite a journey. There were some months when I was in a welter of tears, feeling like, why am I alone? Why can't I be with a family? And then there were other months where I was completely empowered, like, yes, this is my personal time. This is exactly right. So I went on quite a little ride. And one day, I had an amazing dream while I was in my particular moon cycle. And I dreamed that I was completely torn apart, ripped apart by these two spirit animals, and then put back together again. And the dream was so profound for me that I recognized that truly what was happening was I was tearing apart all my old beliefs and my old thoughts and understandings about what it meant to be a woman, and I was stepping back into myself, full power of this is who I am. And after the dream, I decided to focus my PhD research on menstrual cycles and what they mean for how we are in the world and how we can improve our lives.
Yes, and we're gonna get into that a lot in this show. And now also you and your book is under your name Rebecca Orlean. How did you come about changing your name from Rebecca to Pia?
That's an interesting tale. I liked my name as Rebecca, but in 2012, during the summer of 2012, I started getting messages just hearing the name Pia in my thoughts, and I didn't know what it was, and I thought, that's really interesting. And then I actually died. I came down with some kind of illness that my husband Colin took me to the hospital twice, and twice they ran tests for many different things. They looked for spinal meningitis. They looked for spider bites. They ran all kind of tests on me. Couldn't find out what was causing me paralysis and high fevers, and they sent me home to die. And basically, I did. I died, and I came back again. And when I came back, I heard very clearly, you are no longer Rebecca. Your name is Pia. So at that point, I started looking into the name, and I discovered that Pia means sacred in many different languages. And I realized that my change of my name was a way for me to step more fully into the divine feminine and helping other women realize that we are all sacred.
Yes, and that brings me to, you know, I want to talk about why this need for the return of the feminine now. I mean, it feels like we're in this very crucial time. And there's a big call. Many, many women's organizations, including, you know, mine, Women of Wisdom, and many that I know, are in this journey of reclaiming the feminine. But why do you think it's so urgent now?
Well, I think the urgency is because we are so extremely out of balance, both in our cultures and on our planet. The planet herself is in danger from being treated as property rather than being treated as a living conscious being. And we need to change our viewpoints about life and about the planet herself in order to reharmonize and bring balance back to our planet. We can see that when we look at global warming. We can see it in pollution. We can see it in wars. We can see it in hunger. We can see it all across the planet that we're severely out of balance. So that's the first place that I think the planet is screaming, we need to return to the divine feminine. But the secondary point is women have, in our battle, in my opinion, in our battle to be seen, heard, and respected and understood as having voices of wisdom, we have tried to compete with men. We've tried to do things just as good as they do and to be as constant in our ways of doing things as they are. And in that process or that fight, we've sort of forgotten our own gifts. And one of the main gifts we have is that we biologically have an inborn timing that tells us it's time to be active and go out in the world, and it's time to withdraw into ourselves and do our own process. It's a real gift to have that dual nature, and we've sort of forgotten about it, dismissed it, and hidden it under the rug in order to be equal to men. So the divine feminine is screaming for us to come back into harmony ourselves.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because in our culture with our work, And when you work for a company, it's kind of hard to take, 5 days off a month from work and have that time for yourself. What do you suggest women do?
Well, to begin with, there is a wave of people being able to schedule their own work hours more and more and more. So there is a possibility of some flex time within the work schedule. But you are right. The work schedule is still very much based upon a patriarchal schedule of 5 days a week and then 2 days off on the weekend. And most of the time on the weekend, most women are busy catching up on home chores and taking care of families and not taking time for themselves. So what I suggest is eliminating all the extras during that special cycle and being able to do only what is required, just the basics, and spending any kind of extra time that you can put into your cycle as this is time for me, whether that means extra couple of hours of reading in the evening or going for a walk in the nature or, you know, asking someone else in the family to do the cooking and the cleaning for that week, anything that we can do to say this is my time while still maintaining what has to be done is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And even if you could take a day to yourself, and it's so easy to not, what we do is we don't put ourselves first, particularly women, because we're always taking care of families, the house. And if there's a way to take at least one day that is centered on, as you said, having alone time and creating a space in your house that is your space that you can go and no one's going to interrupt you.
That is absolutely paramount. And yes, that is a very big step towards regaining balance. You're right, Chris, that women are caregivers, always taking care of everyone else. It's in our natures to be loving and giving, and we often put ourselves at the bottom of the list. And when we do that, we wind up not being able to do a good job of taking care of everybody else because we have to take care of ourselves first in order to be good, balanced caregivers.
Yeah, and also I imagine it could be hard at first. I mean, you expressed how it was difficult for you to, why can't I be out there with the family? Sometimes it's hard for us to slow down because we live in such a culture that values speed and being busy and doing, that to slow down and take that time for yourself for a day that's quiet is sometimes hard to sit with.
Well, it's hard because most of us feel guilty. It's like, why are we taking this time? I should be doing something. I should be accomplishing something. I should be taking care of something. But it's that very should be that is causing us a deeper and deeper imbalance because this ripples out into our children and it ripples out to the men too because nobody in this culture of speed is taking time for integration with their own thoughts, their own feelings, and being in nature in order to listen to what needs to come next. So it's not only that we're not doing a good job ourselves, we're not being good role models for our children and our partners either.
Well, that's true. And I was just thinking, too, if you have that day of quiet, you know that, well, tomorrow that means I have to do double. I got to do this. And so your mind's thinking, literally, what you have to do the rest of the week because you took this day off. And then you spend your time.
One thing that I suggest, and I use this in my life now when my life gets too busy, which like everybody else's, it often does. What I do is when I go to bed, before I go to bed at night, when I'm ready to quit working sometime in the day, hopefully before dinner, but sometimes not, I will make a list of the things that need to be accomplished next. And then once the list is made, I set it aside. And if I'm taking a day off the next day, or even if it's only my respite during sleep during the night, if I've committed the list of these are the priorities that need to be done next, I give myself permission to rest, however long that time period is, whether it's a night of sleep or a day off the following day.
Yes, we'll talk more. We've got to take our break now.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk more with Pia Orlean.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Pia Orlean today, author of The Return of the Feminine. So, Pia, we were just talking about, you know, making lists so that we have, you know, and I think it's that when we have our day off that we make a list of what our to-do list is. Sometimes that's, I'm picturing that takes me out of my mindset of you know, how we, our mind just goes repeats, thinking all these things. And if you write them down, it's like, okay, I've captured it. I don't have to think about it till tomorrow. So
I think that's right, Chris.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned too that you and when you started this, then you did a PhD in looking at the cultures around the world of the cycles, the natural cycles. Let's talk a little bit about that, because you explored a lot of indigenous people and visited a lot of Native American tribal women, and also studied other cultures around the world. A lot of different attitudes, treatments of women, and some old cultures don't treat women very well, and some have that honoring and understand that balance and the importance of women's bleeding time and the blood mysteries. And other cultures also have a fear of it. So I'd love for you to share what you've learned from that.
Well, sadly, one of the things that I learned is that even the indigenous respect for women's cycles has been overtaken by patriarchal values of the men need to do their sweat lodges and the women don't talk about their issues. It's been swept under the covers, even in indigenous cultures. So some of the women that I talked to had to do it in secret because they were not allowed by their tribe to be able to even talk about women's ceremonies, which made me really sad. That showed me how much out of balance we have become on our planet. But you were talking about people being afraid, and in my research, what I discovered was there is a great fear that has to do with blood, and it goes because people understand and recognize that blood has to do with life and with death. So when someone bleeds, if they're not educated, they don't know whether the bleeding has to do with a new life coming in or someone dying, and that blood has a power to it. And there's a real confusion in some of the cultures, and they had to work out what is the power associated with blood, because when blood is present, life either comes in or life goes out.
Yes, yeah. And so tell us more about that.
Well, when I was in Stanford University, I was walking through their park one day, and I noticed that there were statues, enormous statues with huge penises and men with wounds. And beneath the penises were bowls with carved figures of gods coming out. And I understood by looking at that there were creation myths that were created from these Papua New Guinea statues that were representing the power of birth through blood. And the men were so in awe of the fact that women could give life that they tried to ritualize it themselves. And the ritual that they created was that they would slit their penises and drip the blood into a bowl, and then they would pray that they would give birth to the gods. So this is a long-term view from a long, long time ago about many, many cultures recognizing that blood is associated with the giving birth of life.
Yes, and you talk about in the book about how then it made it like men were creating. They were the ones that created the gods.
They were the ones who said that they had the power to create the gods through their blood that they shed. But they were overwhelmed by the fact that women were the ones who actually created life. This kind of thinking is what led to men having their own ceremonies, because they wanted to compete with the women, because they saw women as being very, very powerful. And that sense of women are powerful because they can bring forth life depends upon the different tribe as how it was dealt with. But some of the tribes recognized and honored it and said, yes, women need to be honored. And other tribes, like the ones in New Guinea, said, nope, men need to be in control, and we're going to do the ceremonies our way. So there's been sort of a controversy about who has the power to bring forth life and what is the power of blood through indigenous cultures into our current modern cultures across the globe for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating, because I think we have this concept like the Native American culture has had an honoring of women, and in North America, they had a separate hut.
Moon lodge.
A moon lodge, yeah, where the woman would go when they had their periods. They would go and be there together, and that's even lost to them probably now too. But there was an honoring of that.
It is, but one thing that's really important for all our listeners to hear is that those moon lodges where women went during their time of bleeding were things that were created by women for women. They were not a situation where the men were casting the women off, going, you can't be around us. These were the women themselves saying, this is our time of power. We choose to be together. We don't want any men present. It was recognized as a sacred time of purification, and it's really important for modern women to know that, because most times when modern women hear about moon lodges, they automatically assume that the men shooed the women off and said, we don't want to be around you now, and that's not the way it was.
Yes, and you brought up the word purification, and I know you talk about that in the book, and learning what that really means, and I'd love for you to share about that.
Well, and when I started my own research about this, I, having been brought up in a culture that taught me that menses was something dirty, that it was all about sloughing off something dirty that wasn't needed, I thought that purification meant simply we were clearing out dirty blood. But that's not true. Purification is about clearing out anything that is no longer needed. Not that our blood is dirty, it's that we don't need it any longer, because we're not going to create a child in this particular cycle. So it becomes unnecessary. So we purify by clearing out whatever is unnecessary to move forward into the next creative cycle. And that purification is not only about the blood, but it's also about purifying any old thoughts, beliefs, emotions, unsettled business that we have accumulated during that cycle, giving ourselves an opportunity to have a fresh slate, clearing out the old and being able to start again fresh.
Yeah, I love that thought. I mean, that's like being able to take that time, that day, if you can just even get a day, to reflect on that. What happened this last month that I need to let go of? And those shameful thoughts, it's been passed on from generation to generation of feeling shamed about our bodies and shamed about these cycles, and to really reclaim them back of these are powerful times, and to allow ourselves to that sense of purifying to, you know, even if we're not bleeding. So I'm imagining I'm in menopause. Well, we used to all, there's a commonality of bleeding at the same time, and there's connection to the full moon. Of perhaps on the full moon, I take that day and for purification, and I review my month of what do I need to let go of in my life? What am I releasing, even though I'm not releasing blood anymore?
You're exactly on the right track, and I encourage menopausal women to honor the timing of, oh, it's time to do a purification and clear out what I don't need any longer and start fresh, whatever timing feels right. It is a sacred cycle, and we don't have to do it only when we're bleeding. We can certainly carry it over into our wisdom years as well. The only thing I would shift a little bit about what you said with your great understanding, Chris, is that previously when women used to bleed together, they bled together in the dark of the moon, and they came together to be in the light of the moon, to be in connection with their partners and with the community. But in the dark of the moon is the time that they went into retreat. And our institution of electric lights and birth control pills has totally wrecked that system. So women don't bleed synchronistically together any longer. We bleed according to our own individual schedules, needs, and cycles, and it's very, very different than it used to be in ancient days.
Yeah, so sometimes when you get together, like you maybe you're away at a camp or something, or I don't know, I've heard too, or become roommates with somebody, you start cycling together,
yes.
And that can happen too. Well, I just think this is such an important time, and I'm wondering with that purification, is there a cycle for men? You know, because I would think it's even a human nature, you know, for all humans to have that, do that work of purification, of cleansing out what's not working anymore, and how this might, what the men's cycle might be for that.
Thank you for recognizing that. One thing that's really important to know is that whether we're men or women, we all have the same identical hormones within us. We just have a different ratio of what those hormones are and how they act between the genders. So it's very, very important to recognize that men do indeed have their own cycles. They're not as obvious as they are for women because women bleed, so the cycle of a woman is very apparent to anybody who's paying attention. But a cycle of a man can be seen and experienced by his own inner urgings to get quiet, to think about what he needs to clear out in his life, to connect with nature, to work through problems, and then to get creative and active again. Men do have cycles, but men have been trained in our culture to be constant. And that constancy prevents them from being able to really honor that they have their own timing that's important in their health and well-being as well as women do. It only really shows up when men hit andropause, which is the male equivalent of menopause.
Oh, how does it show up?
It shows up by men beginning to be stressed and having coronary heart disease and gaining weight around the middle and moving towards Alzheimer's and having midlife crisis of affairs where they psychologically start feeling like they've missed something in life and they've got to grab it real quickly. So they have this clearing out of life review, what's wrong in my life, that comes on really strongly and can affect them in emotional, physical, psychological, and mental ways.
Instead of doing that inner work, they're doing the reacting thing of get the new girlfriend, get the new car, and all that. Well, this is Christine. Thanks for listening to Voices of Women. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk more with Pia.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to the hit show Marketing Masters with Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will bring you the best of the best thought leaders from around the world to share marketing strategies and best practices. Get fired up to grow your business with the Queen of Marketing. To contact Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Pia Orlean. She's the author of The Return of the Feminine. So, Pia, can you give your contact information, websites, and talk about the books you have?
Sure. The website is www.larkmaa.com. And I have four published books. Two of them are co-published with my partner, Cullen Baird Smith, and they are about interstellar communication and how to improve on human evolution. Those books and the other two books are all listed on the website. The book that we're discussing today is my book, The Return of the Feminine, Honoring the Cycles of Nature, which is about the return of the divine feminine both in women and in men. And the last book that I have is called Southern Piercings, and it is a novel of spiritual discovery and awakening.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told me you're going to do a new edition of The Return of the Feminine. And I forget when this book was first published, but a lot, you know, it just keeps changing our sense of what's going on and all this. So when is your new edition of that one coming out?
It'll be out later this year. It's been five years since the first edition. And when we are learning to be in the flow, if you'll pardon the pun, then we are absolutely aware that more and more information is coming to us to help us expand our wisdom and our understanding. So the new edition is going to be more in alignment to help both men and women understand that the divine feminine is not just about women. It's about a nurturing energy that is present for healing and balancing all of us by connecting through nature.
Yes, and I know that's one of the things, too, you talk a lot about, that because this is a cycle, and we're part of nature, and nature has cycles, and how connecting with nature brings us to us to live more in harmony, and then that impacts our personal relationships. So what do you have to say about that?
I think that everything in our lives has to do with relationship, whether in personal relationships with our partners, relationships with our children, relationships with coworkers, or relationship with the earth herself. Everything in our experience here on earth is about relationship. And if we don't honor our relationship to nature and being part natural beings, then all of our relationships suffer. So we absolutely benefit when we remember and awaken to the fact that we are part of nature and honor the cycles that are naturally ours.
Yes, and there's so much denying of it. You know, even now there's a pill that you can just have your monthly period twice a year. You know, what is that about? It's like total denial of who we are as human beings and what our bodies are supposed to do.
Well, it's the complete problem with all of this planet. It's trying to control nature instead of recognizing that we are nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I want to talk about, and it's also has to do with nature too, is the dreaming time and the dreams. And I know in your book, when we were just talking about the moon lodges and the time the woman went away because it's a powerful time. There also was there also was a time, and for purification, but there also was a time for dreaming. And the importance of the women dreaming, they brought back the visions and their dreams to the community, to the men, and the men honored that. So I'd love for you to share stories about that.
Well, the dream that I shared with you at the beginning of the show was a dream that happened when I was in my own bleeding time, in my own separate space that I had created as my divine space. And that's what awakened me to the power of how the dreams are more potent when we honor the timing of our natural cycles and paying attention to them. But indigenous people believe that knowledge comes through the dreams from a spiritual basis, and that if you honor the timing of your dreams, then you will have something to share with your community. So women's withdrawing into the Moon Lodge to be able to have special time to dream brought back guidance for the community. In the same way, men would withdraw on vision quest, and they would bring back whatever visions or dreams they had during their separate time on vision quest. There's many, many different tribes that hold to the knowledge that dreams are important for our everyday reality. The Ojibwe believe that all knowledge is the result of dreams. The Mojave believe that dreams are the link between human beings and the spirit world. The Kwikital believe that dreams represent direct contact with spiritual realms. The Crow people believe that dreams come from the spirit world only, and the dreamer is in communication with the spirit world. And I can go on. There's more and more and more different tribes that have a different spin on the importance of dreams. But I think the most profound thing you can know about the importance of dreams is how they connect you to the emotional signals within your own life to show you what's out of balance and what actions you need to take. Because if you have a dream that has a lot of emotion attached to it, you're getting a signal that there's some change that needs to occur.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any tips on remembering dreams?
Yes,
for people?
There's a couple of things I can suggest for that. First of all, simply honoring the timing of dreams and that you wish to have them makes a connection to the dream guides to say, okay, this person's ready for listening to wisdom. So the intention is the first thing. The second thing I would say is when you have a dream, immediately write it down, because you're not going to remember it if you say, oh, I'll write that down later. Once you're back in the sleep state, the dream escapes you and it's gone. So you have to make a commitment to honoring whatever dreams you have by writing them down when you awaken immediately before the dream is forgotten. And the third thing that I would recommend is putting a bowl of water at your head. If you put a bowl of water at your head, it stirs up the waters of your own being in a way that dreams come to you more naturally.
I just said, because with putting a water above my head is with our the back post, it would fall off and water me in the middle of the night.
Well, not behind you. It doesn't have to be above your head or on the bedpost, but just somewhere near your head. It can even be on the floor if you need to.
Yeah,
but have water near you, near your head when you're sleeping. Something about the water draws in the dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know too, if I'm awakened quickly and I'm just out of a dream, it'll be fresh. And if I mention it to my husband, I have a better chance of remembering, because, like, say, if you go back to sleep, you don't. And that helps sometimes, because I'll just be kind of amazed at a dream and speak it, and then I can remember it. And I know keeping a dream journal is important. So the other thing that you have a chapter in your book about is the Mary energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that. What do you mean by that, and how does that relate to the return of the divine feminine energy?
Well, I call the Mary energy the same thing as the divine feminine. I simply call it the Mary energy because one of my introductions to the divine feminine came directly from an encounter with Mary herself. I was in a group of other people, and we were doing some exercises outdoors, following some health exercises in a group setting, and I had an experience where all of a sudden this light appeared in the tree, and the next thing that I knew, I was on the ground shaking and being wrapped up in blankets. And I was told that Mary had spoken through me and said, this is the time that we need to heal. This is the time you need to speak. This is the time you need to correct imbalances. All of these things that came through that I didn't understand, the power of the divine feminine coming through in that particular circumstance, was so profound for me that I didn't remember it. Since that time, I have been an open channel for energies of the divine to come through me on a regular basis, both with the work that I do with my partner, Cullen, and with the Mary energies, what I call the divine feminine, coming through on their own. And I will remember everything that is said when they come through now. But I think that energy of the divine feminine is being spoken, felt, heard in women across the planet, and also in the men who are awake and aware that this presence is calling us forth to return to nature and to rebalance ourselves. The thing that's most profound to me about what I call the Mary energy or the divine feminine is that the divine feminine honors both the masculine and the feminine in a complete and proper harmony and balance. So the return of the feminine is about honoring the best of all of who we are as men and as women, and looking at the balance to find out how we are out of harmony, out of rhythm with nature, what's causing our distress and our disease, what's causing relationship problems, looking at it all and trying to find our way back into harmonic communication with one another.
Yeah, so true. And if you just, you know, the world is just mirroring what is going on inside us, you know, because all the disharmony and all the problems that's happening in the earth with the environment and politically and everything, is so, there's so much disharmony. And that's, it's mirroring to us what's happening inside of us. And so everybody I talk to that I interview in my radio show is like, it's doing our internal work of finding that balance in ourselves and finding that Mary energy within ourselves, because there's been such a disconnect to it over the centuries.
I would agree completely with that. I feel that the external is a pure manifestation of the internal. And if
yes.
we want to change the outer world, the only way to do it is by working on ourselves and changing the inner environment.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this is Chris Stainless with Voices of Women. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk more with Pia Orlean.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hey, you're listening to Voices of Women, and this is Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Pia Orlean, author of The Return of the Feminine. And we were just talking about how the world reflects and mirrors back what's going on inside of ourselves. So, you know, in that, we're talking about energy, right, Pia? So let's get into that.
Well, my feeling is that everything is energy, and that anything that we experience emotionally, mentally, or physically is simply a manifestation of how we deal with energy. And that energy begins with ourselves, our own energy, and it extends out into how we interact with others and their energy. So energy is the name of the game. It's understanding how to honor the energy that we are and how we integrate our energy into the world that can make a difference. There's a lot of talk right now about oneness and unity as we are moving on our evolutionary journey. And one thing that I feel is absolutely essential to know is that if we're talking about duality in women's cycles or duality between men and women or dual experiences with night and day, anytime we're talking about duality, there seems to be a disconnect between how can we be moving towards unity when our experience is so dual. And my view on that is the problem is that we're focusing on the split between the duality. And when we start seeing our dualistic opposites as having different things that can contribute, then we're moving towards unity, because then we start using dualistic differences to contribute to a greater whole. And that, to me, is the path towards unity.
And so, like, it's okay, you know, you think of people that you're so opposite, you know, or you have conflict with or whatever. It actually, I know when I interviewed you before, it's giving you a place to work on some healing. It's, you know, which is moving energy, is coming to a place of understanding of the differences between you. It actually moves you forward in our spiritual journey.
Absolutely. The first thing we have to do is to take a step back and stop judging and just recognize, oh, this is just a different energy, and don't judge it. And then when you recognize that the energy is different, then you can determine how you, or even if, you want to integrate your energy with the other person or the other situation's energy. But you have to take a step away from that judgment to see that, yes, this is different. This is something that has a dual extreme to it. How do I want to engage with it? Are there aspects of this dualistic opposite that would benefit me to hear, see, or know them? Or is this something I'm completely unresonant with and I need to just allow it to be, accept it, respect it, and move away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is that choice. You can let them be, you know, just let it brush off your shoulder, sort of, you know, like, and not take it, not take, cause a lot of times we take in that energy and then we get more riled up too. We buy into it. We react to it instead of respond.
That's a key point, Chris. And we have to really learn the difference between responding and reacting, because reacting is instant. And responding allows us to take that breath, withdraw from the judgment, and then determine and choose how we wish to be, how we wish to engage with the energy or not engage with it. But reactions don't allow that breathing space. They're automatic.
Right. And it's based on what our world's been like, what our patterns are, what the conditions we were brought up in. And if we haven't done that healing work of knowing our what I call triggers, knowing what, you know, why we react to things, we're going to continue reacting. And as we do that healing, which we were talking about, that energy work too, we start to understand where that came from and that we're not really reacting to what's happening in front of us. It happened 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago or whenever. And when we can recognize that, then we've done our, you know, we're really on our journey of healing.
We are on the journey. And I have to say, the reactions aren't going to stop instantly, even when we're on that journey. Sometimes we will still be triggered. And mm-hmm. The key work is to recognize, oh, look at that. I'm being triggered by this old pattern again. And then take a step back and breathe and go, okay, what do I want to do with this pattern and how do I want to respond differently?
It's a yeah, process. And also what we typically do is just judge ourselves too from, oh, I did it again. Here I did. I'm such a fool. Look what I did. Everybody sees me. It's this, you know, and then we judge ourselves and that does, you know, we just need to forgive ourselves and move on. Like, okay, next time I'll be better at this.
Judgment and blame have to be started at home. We have to stop judging and blaming ourselves and then we stop judging and blaming others. But we have to do that inner work first.
That's so true. So is there anything else in our last couple of minutes that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I would like to share the mystery and the magic of being in nature, recognizing that we need to step away from our computers, our cell phones, our televisions, anything that is technologically helpful and beneficial. We need to step away from it and bring nature back into our lives in a larger way. I'm not saying we should get rid of all these technical helps, but I'm saying we need to return to a sense of balance so we know when to step away from the computer, because internet can be very addictive. It can cause people to be sped up. It causes more extending our energy when we need to withdraw our energy and really be with where we are in the moment. So we really need to step back into a harmonic rhythm with nature in order to step into being who we are and to allow the feminine to return into us.
Mm-hmm. So true. And I know it's so easy. Yeah. I mean, and you just get in these time warps, you know, you think you're going to go on your computer to check emails and an hour later you go, oh my goodness, you know, you get into this funny zone, you know, of a different zone of consciousness when you're on your computer to just stop and go, okay, now's the time to take a walk.
Well, the mind takes over. And what we haven't recognized yet fully is that the wisdom doesn't live in the mind. The wisdom lives in the body. It's the body that holds all the wisdom. Every cell in our body has consciousness. Every cell in our body has a brain. And if we don't honor and recognize that cellular consciousness within our body, the mind's going to take over and lead us in directions that disconnect us from our bodies more and more and more, which will cause more and more dis-ease, disharmony, poor relationships, and imbalance on the planet. So we have to awaken to being aware of what our bodies hold in their wisdom.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Pia.
Thank you, Chris. I've very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, and sharing your wisdom. And also I want to share with the audience that I will be interviewing Pia and Cullen on the Dr. Pat Show at 10 o'clock on June 16th. And we will be having LARCMA sharing their wisdom with us. You'll be speaking for LARCMA at that show.
LARCMA comes through only when Cullen and I are joined together, which now that I think of it in this particular moment, that's a perfect representation of having to have divine masculine and a divine feminine joined together in order to bring forth a spiritual voice.
Yeah, so true. So we look forward to that on June 16th.
Thank
well, this
you.
Is Chris Danis, and I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. And we still have, just want to point out, our Sacred Pamper Day in Seattle on May 30th. There's still room if you're a healer, body worker, reader. You can apply to be part of our fundraiser. Just go to womanofwisdom.org and look for Sacred Pampering under our program tab. And also join us. Buy a ticket to attend. It's just one price to enter in, and then you get you'll get a variety of services from all these amazing people that are going to be there to pamper you that day. That's May 30th. And also check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's an exploration of the divine feminine as well from many viewpoints. Many of our speakers at Woman of Wisdom, our participants, art and poetry. And it also makes a great gift to share with your friends who are exploring this feminine journey. So I wish everybody a very good week and weekend. And we'll be talking to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
My My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.